Just a brief warning that this segment will include discussion of child illness and death. Hunter was a baby when doctors said he wouldn't live past his first birthday. He defied expectations. In fact, mum Ella Stratton had 12 years with Hunter, and now she's determined to help other parents who face the same path. Welcome to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast, Ella. Thank you for being with me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
Sorry if there's a little bit of background noise. There's a few alerts going on at Parliament House for some practice drills where we're broadcasting from, but I think we'll be clear of them for a little while.
Sure.
But can you tell me, what do you remember about learning something was wrong with Hunter and contemplating the journey the two of you would face ahead?
Yeah, it was a very scary time and very unknown. You know, like all mums, all you want is to have a healthy baby, and he seemed to be born totally fine. And then 8 weeks in, we started noticing some unusual characteristics and some things that showed us that he was having some seizures. Going down that medical path was pretty scary as a first-time young mum, and there was amazing medical support and teams around us to guide us, but unfortunately we weren't getting a lot of answers, and he was a bit of a mystery man that didn't fit any boxes of conditions or syndromes, etc. So he was quite tricky. So that to navigate was a long journey and very scary and very heartbreaking at the same time.
And then you're spending a lot of time in medical and clinical circumstances, but you don't want that to be the whole world. How important is it to create memories? How important was it for you to create memories with Hunter outside of that medical and clinical space, as important as it is?
Absolutely. That became our major priority as time went on, that we realised that Hunter was in a situation that we weren't necessarily going to be able to fix or cure or change the path that was ahead of us. So we made a decision that we had to just live life and live for the moment. And thanks to my husband, who I've always called Captain Adventure, we were able to create some beautiful memories together as a family. And, you know, after Hunter passed away, they're the things that you hang on to, and all the photos and the memories became the connection that we have to keep and hold on to for always. So as much as you had that clinical and medical side that you have to walk that path, that those memory-making moments and those times together as a family were invaluable.
You've co-founded the Haas Foundation, that's named with Hunter's initials, with the goal of helping families create those kind of moments. Can you tell me how it works?
Absolutely. So Haas Foundation, we support paediatric palliative care families, and a lot of people don't really understand that palliative care for children is a very different space than it is for what we know in aged care, granny and grandpa going into a hospice. They pass away in that short period of time. For many families and for us, we were actually in the palliative care service for nearly 3 years. And for other families, it's longer. For some families, it can be quite short. So it's really about that time together living. It's, yes, the end of life care is there and supported with the palliative care team, but it's really about those moments together as a family, how to make their heartbreaking journey a little more gentle, and what we can do to make their life together as memorable as possible. So that's why we started Haas Foundation, to start with the referral process. As you could imagine, being told that your child is going into palliative care is a pretty devastating end of the line. And we thought that that needed to be a lot more gentle, more inclusive, a club that no family wants to be a part of. But how could we welcome families and make families feel a part of something that is nurturing and that they have some connection to? And that was where our care packs started, as families were referred. And we hadn't had the best experience in the referral process, so we knew that we could do it better for other families.
That connection must be so important when you're dealing with a lot of uncertainties, particularly when it's difficult to get a diagnosis, you're not sure of the road ahead. It must make a big difference being able to connect with other families that are experiencing similar things.
Absolutely. It's a very isolating time because you are caring for your child a lot by yourself, as much as the palliative care team do a fantastic job. Here in South Australia, we don't actually have a children's hospice. The Women's and Children's Hospital do a brilliant job of caring for families, but they also support families to care for their child at home. So for families that choose to be at home caring, and for us, the last 6 months of Hunter's life, he was too unwell to go to school. So he was home with us all the time. And we were supported to care for him at home, but it is a huge responsibility and it is really isolating. So for these families, if they don't have family support or community support around them, it can be a very scary, isolating, lonely time. So for families to be able to connect with each other, and especially in bereavement as well, we're really hearing that families feel very alone long after, not in that initial, there's wonderful organisations that do amazing support and so does the hospital in that immediate bereavement stage. But in that long-term bereavement, we're really feeling and hearing from families that they're feeling quite alone and they're really wanting to connect with other people that have been through the same thing.
What has all of this taught you about human connection and the connection of families and children and I guess a bit of resilience too?
Absolutely. My gosh, it's taught me so many different things. The little things make the biggest difference, and to savour all those little moments and those little things, because as a collective, they're what makes the big thing. So I find that soaking in those little moments, and if we can give families those little tiny moments of relief or connection or care and nurture, that makes a really big impact and a big difference to those families. It's not always about the big flashy things that families really want. And as for connection, I think people just want to be able to talk about their child. I think there's such a stigma in our culture around bereavement and around death and grief that we don't have a huge amount of understanding, and we think don't talk about it, or we think, you know, don't say the child's name because we don't want to upset that person that may have lost their child. But to actually, most families, and I know from my experience, we really want to talk about our kids, as all parents do, and we really want to share about them. So if people actually listen and hear about us sharing about our children, I think that's a beautiful way to connect with the community and all the people around you, because our kids are still our kids and we just want to be able to share them.
And when you think of that, wanting to keep that memory there and keep children as part of your family lives even after they've died, and consider what you've tried to do, make sure that families can still live their life whilst going through a palliative process. I mean, can you tell me in your circumstance, how do Hunter's brothers remember him now? How do they talk about him now with the opportunities that you've had to be able to create some of those memories while he was with you?
My boys are quite grown up now. They're much older, but they love reflecting back on the photos and videos and having a good laugh at the things that they got up to together as three brothers. And they have fond memories of doing different things like swapping footy cards and stealing Hunter's footy cards and things like that that he couldn't defend himself. So they were stealing footy cards from him.
Solid brother behaviour right
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, those memories together and the videos of them wheeling him around in his wheelchair or tying dressing gown ties together with a bike and his wheelchair and wheeling him around, I think they're precious memories that have helped us as a family stay connected in those young childhood years. And we talk about Hunter really freely as a family, and so does our extended family as well, which we love. And having good traditions also on birthdays and memory milestone moments, I think is really important. And those traditions and carrying forward those family generational memories and moments hopefully will keep Hunter connected to the family and to my boys for a long time.
Ella Stratton, thank you so much for talking me through your time with Hunter and what you've been able to do with the Haas Foundation. Thank you very much for being with me on Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you so much for your time.
That is Ella Stratton, who is Hunter's mum and co-founder of the Haas Foundation.